She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, all. G'day, listeners. Welcome aboard another episode of Triple J Racing Weekly. I'm joined again by Bryce Parker from up in Brisbane. He's been showing me the nice view out of his new apartment, and it looks sensational out there, mate. So how's things going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Loving it up here, and loving the spring racing as well. Feel like we're really back into it. It was good weekend, and mate, stacked. Both Moonee Valley and Randwick this weekend got stacks of races coming. Lots of stakes races. They're all over Moonee Valley. So yeah, I'm super keen. I'm just intrigued to see how a lot of runners go, mate. So I'm really looking forward to it. How are you doing?
I think we're going to probably start saying it every week now moving forward, but every week just seems to get that little bit more exciting and a little bit more quality on the card. You know, you start with that first week where you get the one or two group races, and then it just starts flowing through the entire meeting. But yeah, going well, mate. The weather at your place is obviously nice and sunny, so we should have dry track in Queensland. I think we might have reasonably dry tracks all over the place. Melbourne's got a bit of rain tomorrow, but as you said, mate, the racing's outstanding at the moment, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what your thoughts are on the races coming up this weekend. But before we get into it, we'll just have a bit of a review about last weekend. Obviously, Rose Hill, extremely hard to make up ground. My best bet was Vivier. I thought that, you know, she went quite well, but wasn't able to chase down It's a Knockout in that race. I would stick with Vivier, but unfortunately wasn't meant to be. You had a couple of great tips there, mate, with Craig, and you had one or two other winners. You tipped up Storm Boy. So let's talk about that race. San Domenico, Storm Boy was outstanding, mate. What were your thoughts on Storm Boy and Gatsby's?
Yeah, not surprised. I could see the track leaning to On Pace, and Storm Boy looks super hard to beat. It was good to see him do that. I think we spoke about sort of getting the big wraps, and the horses don't do that themselves. I mean, I was seeing so many people sort of throw him in the bin after two runs where he didn't win. But I mean, how do you knock him? One of them, he was wide and he was on a heavy track and he lost by a length. So sometimes that happens. And I think the writing's on the wall. I think the early wraps are pretty spot on. I reckon he's pretty special. So, I wasn't shocked at all, mate. As soon as he hit the front, it was pretty much race over. I think he could follow a few out of that. I mean, if it's hard to make ground, you can always forgive them. But then again, it's going to be hard to make ground more often than not, given the way that Australian tracks tend to play. So, yeah, I thought it was a really good effort, mate. Gatsby is probably keen maybe on just a track that plays a bit more fair or a longer straight, but yeah, Storm Boy, super, super impressive.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point you make. And I think the best part about Storm Boy's win was he had to do a lot of work early because he wasn't really that flashy out of the gates. Adam had to get stuck into him to find the lead, and then he did. And then actually kicked away on the corner. And unfortunately, Adam dropped his whip at the 300. I reckon he would have been very nervous when he did that. But, you know, it was hands and heels for the rest of the race. And look, it was absolutely outstanding, the result. So hats off to him. And I think the comment about Gatsby's, I thought he was extremely good first up when he was ridden dead quiet at the back of the field and just allowed to, you know, unload and do his best work late. But one thing I've noticed about Gatsby's is first up, debut, he went to Canterbury and he rolled forward. I think that day he had to roll forward. I think in terms of this San Domenico last weekend, J-Mac's no silly duffer. You know, he's ridden Storm Boy before. He knew how good Storm Boy was going to be. And when he saw that there was an on-pace pattern, he tried to get Gatsby to sit as close as he could just to give him the chance to try and roll Storm Boy. Otherwise, if he went back to last, he had no chance at all. So I actually think that probably took his dash away, and now they'll ride him cold. But at the end of the day, nothing in that race was going near Storm Boy, and it was an excellent result. So, you got that one right last podcast, mate. Just quickly, the Memsie down at Caulfield last weekend, prior to Jenny, very disappointing. I was also very disappointed in myself. I backed Pinstripe heavily first up and jumped off him in the Memsie, and then he won the Memsie. So what do you think of Pride of Jenny, mate? Did she just had a poor run, forget about it, or might not have come up this spring?
I need one or two more runs. It's a bit too early. I think either of the things you just said are possible, might just have not come back as well, or put in a poor one. I mean, its first up record's not great at all. So I was on the bandwagon with a few people thinking it's just gone to another level. It's going to come out and go really close to winning. So maybe just getting the cobwebs out, made it. It wasn't their grand final, but if she runs like that the next two or three, then yeah, she's not come back in here as well.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And I'm really looking forward to this weekend. We've got a couple of selections from all around the place. Actually, you're going to dive down at Mornington on Friday night, and then we're going to obviously talk about Randwick and Moonee Valley on the weekend, which are two absolutely sensational cards. I'm up and about this week, mate. I'm a degenerate for racing all year round, but this week's, got me on the edge of my seat, and I can't wait. So let's not muck around. I need to lift me form this week. I've been a little bit poor on the podcast. I've been going okay with a couple of bets throughout the program on the website, but I want to get, listeners in on the podcast and find some winners. So let's get into it. Friday night, mate, Mornington, race 8, 1500. It's a benchmark 58, and you've got one for listeners here. So fill us in.
Yeah, the favourites are 390 and 250. I can see why. This is actually a really handy race, mate, because Fridge Monster, who's well in the market, last start sat wide and still bolted in. You've got, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, Voila Vivace, who resumes and ran second at GG's Miss Truth. So that Tassie form's probably as good as we get down there in Bart. So
I think. If you watch today, King West sort of sat outside leader. One. And next to the line, I thought it could have won by three or four. Jamie Carr has won right at Mornington. And this form line, mate, I've been following it for a while because it sort of also measures up with one other. I can't think off the top of my head, but yeah, this has been stacking up. And I had a feeling King West would win today, and it did. So I'm pretty confident here. Carr's obviously sticking. She barely moved on at the last 50 when it won, and sat up on the speed, which yeah, it's Mornington. So yeah, the market's gravitating towards it, mate. I think that's a really good bet still at 250. I reckon it'll go odds on come tomorrow.
Jamie Carr doesn't mind a trip out to Mornington as well, which is an interesting one. So hopefully she can get the result done there tomorrow night for yourself, mate. Randwick on the weekend. It's good four. The rail's out 6 meters. In terms of my thoughts on the track, I'm going in with an open book this week. I got it wrong last week at Rose. Well, I got it right at Rose Hill, but I played too many horses that were going to be sitting off the fence and doing a little bit too much work. But Randwick will be fair this weekend. I think we're going to be in for a much more open book of racing, and that's how I'm playing it. You sticking with your on paces, mate, or a little bit more open-minded this week?
Yeah, I'm going on pace again. I think it's just the safe bet at the moment, especially with the tracks not being wet. They're going to get every chance up on speed. I'm leaning, and obviously Moonee Valley, mate. I mean, you're not really going to see him run on a.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there, mate. And I was almost going to tip up the first three races on the program at Randwick on the weekend, and then I thought I'd better leave one of these out. If I go none from three to kick off the day, I will be going for a walk and very cranky. So I've left the midway out. But for those interested, I was very keen on Herb. A couple of Kembla Grange whispers around town from Kerry Parker that Herb's going very well, so he'll be the selection there. Mate, I like one in race two. Benchmark 78 over the 1100 meters. Horse called Spring Lee. A lot of her recent form is over the 1100 meters. And first up, she should have won when held up at a vital stage. Second up, not only did she go to the 1200 meters, but she did plenty of work early. Over raced, found herself three wide. I must admit, hang on, yeah, race two. Sorry, I must admit she did have Mark Zara there, so I can't be too critical of the rider. But Rachel King jumps back aboard. She's 2 wins and 3 seconds on this horse, and her form from last preparation around the likes of Jewelry, Commemorative, In Flight, she's got some form around good horses. And there's a little bit of hype around this Martini Mama, but last preparation she was winning, Tab Highways, and then went into a nice sort of, race there at Scone, and she got beat by Spring Lee by quite convincingly. So Spring Lee's fit, third up into the preparation. I want to be with her again here, and I think $3.10 is a nice price. Did you have any opinion of that race?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they've all met the chances in the market. Springlee easily beat Confess Our Dreams, and they met and Martini Mama. So I'm a little bit shocked Springlee isn't favourite, to be honest. But Martini Mama opened up 235. I don't know who did that pricing. It can win, but yeah, that's bizarre that Springlee is almost double the price. I'm with you there, mate. I think $3 is pretty fair.
Beautiful. I'm keen on the Tab Highway as well. Race three, 1200 meters. This is getting into your territory, so we'll see if you have an opinion there. But I really like the way that Melody again is going this preparation. She's had the two starts and a trial in between. I've liked all the performances. I must admit, first up there at Rose Hill, I thought that it was by design that she went to the outside fence with Tommy Sherry aboard. But watching it on closer glance, I think the horse just hung pretty badly and ended up really out wide, but knuckled down and finished that race off strongly at pretty large odds, and then had a nice trial, and then raced at Benchmark 78 Company and was two lengths off World Alliance, who's a horse that I've been following this preparation. But you know, you've ran third in a Benchmark 78, you got out of the fitness, find a Tab Highway now that's got a lot of speed, and that's what this horse needs. Just sit in the running line and fly home. Double figure odds, mate. I think Melody again is a great price. I actually really like Scott Singleton as a trainer up there at Scone. I think he's fantastic. And Melody again's a dry track horse, needs a long straight at Randwick, needs tempo, and we get all the ticks. So I'm going to take the 10 and $3.30 there. Do you have any opinion of the highway?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what I was thinking what you opinion of it. But my only negative is just where it settles. It's going to need luck. Atmospheric Rock, I'm disappointed I didn't stick with it first up. I've actually been a huge fan of that horse as well. So they're both going to settle off the speed, and I think it's a race of two. Atmospheric Rock's comeback super, but as you said, Melody again, when it hung out, the horse in second, Super Norwest, won last week. So yeah, it's got some good form lines, and as you said, World Alliance, it ran $41 that day, and it was only two lengths off them. So Barrier 16, it's gonna need things to fall into place, but it's that kind of horse that just has a rocket on it when things go right. So yeah, $10 is well and truly over the odds. I think it's yeah, race of two. Liz Tamania just doesn't win often. It's two from 16 and it's got barrier 17. So yeah, happy to leave that out.
Beautiful, mate. Well, you're going to have a look at the three-year-old fillies for us in the Daly Furious Stakes, which is race six. Manal was obviously beaten last start as favourite. Amina beat the horse home and they clash again. A couple of other horses first up. Who did you like here?
Yeah, keeping it simple, we'll be with the favourite just because of the weights here. Gets on level weights, ticks all the boxes. We've had a scratching, so it's 3 out of 5 on this track. I thought, there was 0.3 between this and a couple of other of these first up, and I reckon it's a clear horse to beat, mate. I wouldn't take any lower than 220, 230 because there's not a whole lot between them. But provided natural progression and back on the level weights, yeah, deserving favourite, nice and simple.
Yep, I thought it was an interesting race, and I'm really looking forward to it. But like you said, there's a 3 kilo weight swing for Manal. They meet on set weights here, which is a big one. I did listen to Corey Brown's comments and noted them down in the yard. He said that she hasn't grown, so she's obviously still a little filly Manal, which is disappointing. But Drifting's obviously coming out of the wide barrier 13. That's a negative. I think J Mac will probably find Manal's back again in run, which will potentially be the key. And I thought that the Godolphin runner was a chance, Zay Tung, but I think, you know, I think the top three in the market are the right horses, and realistically, looking at the weight swing, Manal should be winning that race. So we'll see how we go there. But I don't really like the odds, and I was probably gonna stick with Amina. Race seven, the Concord Stakes. I just wanted to briefly get your thoughts quickly on maybe Giga Kick here. Obviously, this is sort of the first sort of sprint race of the preparation leading into the Everest. I was really keen to try and stick with Giga Kick. First run in 12 months. He's had the two trials. I thought that his second trial was pretty good. I thought his first trial, although they were both good trials, they weren't outstanding trials, which is the concern. But what a race this is, mate. Giga Kick, Private Eye, Uff Cabin, Bella Nipotina. I think there's about five or six probably winning hopes here, but it all depends if Giga Kick's turned up and recovered well enough to go first up here. What are your thoughts, 1,000 meters?
I reckon I'll steer clear of this one. There's too many unknowns. Pretty much all of these are first up. If anything, Bella Nipotina, if I had to pick one, just fitness and barrier one. But yeah, Moonee Valley first up with 4 or 5 stars. I've got no idea. All I know is I've always said half cabin's a bit overrated. I was my opinion. That's yeah. I've just found it's been in the market so often and has sort of let people down. So I've tended to steer clear of that horse throughout its career. No offense to it, but all the other runners are stars. Private Eye is one of my favorites. Remark will run well fresh. Bella's the biggest war horse in Australia, and yeah, obviously Giga Kicks, one of the best we've got. So yeah, it's a really good race. Moonee Valley is also a query for a few of these. So oh no, yeah, Giga Kicks won a few times at the Valley. So yeah, cracking race, mate. I'm going to steer clear.
Mate, I don't know what beers you're having, but this race is at Randwick, not Moonee Valley, mate. Can you switch on
Oh
over
yeah, sorry. Yeah, I had in my head this is Moonee Valley for some reason, but given it is Randwick, yeah, I that makes me feel a bit better about Giga Kick. I think that's fair.
You must have an absolute moral for listeners at Moonee Valley. You just haven't got your mind off it, mate. But
I do.
yeah, hell of a race, hell of a race. And like you said, they're first up over 1,000 meters. A lot of these will want to peak on Everest Day, or the ones probably trying to get into the Everest. So it'll be very interesting. But from a punting perspective, you're right. You couldn't tip anyone into this with any confidence. It's a first up assignment for a lot of them. Race nine. It's the Tramway Stakes, and I just wanted to put a little push out for Amelia's Jewel. She's obviously $2.70. I don't want her any shorter in a field like this, but I really do like the change of stable for this horse and her setting up camp in Sydney now for Annabelle Neesham. She's had two trials, both of them in good company. I thought first hit out was you could see Tommy Berry was trying to hold her back a little bit, and the second hit out, she's let her stride along and find the line. She won the trial nicely. I'm hoping she can be the horse that gets Tommy Berry a few black type results over the spring. I think she can be that good, and she's extremely well set up here. She's the highest rated horse in the field with 112 rating, and only carries 3 kilos more than Arctic Glamour, who's the lowest with 93, or lowest guaranteed starter in the race with a rating of 93. And there's a couple of horses carrying more weight, so on rating she's really well in. I think she finds herself in the running line and gets every opportunity. Dry track suits. Arctic Glamour's the horse I'm worried about. I really like that Schwartz form, and she's second up, dry deck, out to 1,400 metres, and I think that she'll probably be sitting on Amelia Jewel's tail. So that'll be an awesome race. Did you do any form on that one?
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said. I think they're the two. Freedom Rally is a bit short for me. The Chinese Chicken Meals, it's been backed in 16-7 in honor of him. I think he passed away the other day. Kovalika is also one that wouldn't completely shock, but yeah, I'd love to see Amelia's Jewel back, mate. I really would. And as you said, Arctic Glamour's form's super. That last run was really good. It's probably due for a win. It's 2 from 12 now, so Amelia's Jewel is definitely more of a winner than Arctic Glamour. Yeah, a really good race. Really intrigued to see how Amelia's Jewel win. I really hope she comes out and she bolts in. And as you said, mate, Neesham's one of the best stables. When they send them over, she doesn't get it wrong often.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. Well, we're going to head to Moonee Valley now. This will be the second race meeting of the day at Moonee Valley after all those Randwick races have been running around on the same track. At the moment, good four rails in the true position, and they've obviously protected those inside lanes to try and get it back to true for this meeting now, where all these stakes races on the day and the Moya Stakes, which is going to be an outstanding race. But they're expecting a lot of rain tomorrow, mate. So I think we'll be on a I think we'll be on a soft track, and I'm actually leaning towards the inside lane potentially being not the place to be. I think they'll be able to come a couple of lanes off the fence tomorrow, and potentially, backmarkers are not going to be winning races, but I think that, those horses that can get in the running line and just peel off, get those lanes two and three first, they'll be advantaged. What were your thoughts on the track?
Yeah, I'm gonna stay on speed. It is a bit hard to gauge until we know how much rain's on there. As you said, yeah, it kind of does bring in horses that can get in the running line into it a bit. So I'll definitely keep that in mind. But yeah, I'll still stick with those up on speed just because it's a valley.
Beautiful, mate. And you want to kick us off with one that I think this is the one you think is an absolute moral race one. Start the day off well. Who do you like?
Oh, if I'm backing in Mickey D, I'm obviously pretty keen on the horse. So I really think Evaporate's the one here, mate. I mean, realistically speaking, this whole field is coming up from, it's either debuting or coming up from maiden grade. The three dangers in this, so to speak, are all jumping up from maiden grade. Whereas Evaporate, I don't know how it isn't, $1.60, $1.70. I mean, you look through its form, it nosed out by Mortal Star, who won last weekend in a very deep race, 4 lengths off Coleman and Aneza, 6 lengths off Traffic Warden, and then has come out its past 2 runs and won. And then last start was ultra impressive, won by 3 lengths, careering away from them, started a race mid-run, and it beat Trunk, and I just don't think this race is any harder. It carried 59, now it gets 60, so it's 1 kilo more. Whereas you look through the dangers, they're all leaping up from maiden grade. And don't get me wrong, I think Captain Barbosa, Coco Bill, Twin Engine, I watched all their wins, and they're all sort of wins by big spaces, so they're all progressive horses, probably destined for handy races. But yeah, I think Evaporate's the one, mate. I mean, yeah, that's off a 3 length win here at the Valley, proven on the track and proven weight carrier. I can't see how this won't win, as long as it holds its form. If it regresses, because it has been up a while, then fair enough. These ones can definitely beat it. But yeah, anything like that last run, mate, or the run where it was nosed out by Mortal Star, and it will absolutely beat this lot.
It's one of the hardest things in racing to judge a maiden winner, a maiden win by 3 or 4 lengths, because the only way you can actually judge a win like that from maiden grade is by the clock, because there's plenty of, so to speak, ponies that go around in maiden races and don't win, and you just don't know. Sometimes, those horses get a big boom on them because they've won a maiden race that there isn't a subsequent winner out of the race for another 24 months. So I agree with you there, and he does look. Evaporate does look in really well at the weights there, so I'll be on board with you there, mate. $2.70, hopefully still the same price on Saturday morning. I want to go to the next mile race, which is Benchmark 84. I really like a horse called Aramco. He's a 6-year-old gelding by See the Moon. Obviously, I was really keen on him last start. I made him my best bet on the program that day. He was third up over 1800 meters, but he sat leaders back. He peeled right to the center of the track. I'm assuming by design by McAvoy, and that's what's been happening a little bit in Sydney. They've been trying to find certain lanes on the track, and next thing you know, the winners get cheap seats and go up the inside. And Golden Path swamped him on the inside, and that's a really nice horse. The leader, who was going the same pace as Aramco on speed, died in the arse of the furlong. So I thought it was a rock solid effort to stick on for fourth, and he finished that race with good horses around him. Blake Shinon, fourth up now, rock hard fit. He drops back to the mile. He probably gets on a track that, oh, well, he will be on a track that really suits those horses, getting on the speed. And I just think it looks a winnable race. I also think that despite the fact that he looks like a dry tracker on paper, he has had a good couple of performances on not only soft but heavy as well. So I think he's going to be really hard to beat at Ramco, and I'm happy to take $3.80. What were your thoughts on race three?
Yeah, I see your point. I agree. I think it's a horse to beat. Le Zebre's the other one that can sort of pull out a big run from time to time, but yeah, it falls apart a bit this race. I think it's Aramco's. Yeah, it's going to take plenty of beating here, and anything Blake Shinn's on, I'm pretty interested in these days. He's probably been the most informed jockey the past year or so.
I am a little bit concerned about Le Zebre, especially, off the back of that 5 length win 2 starts back, and then the Rise of Dawn form is obviously outstanding at the moment, in Melbourne. So I think Rise of Dawn won last week. Again, it was one of my selections on the podcast. It looked absolutely gone at the furlong. I don't know how it won, but it did. But yeah, Le Zebre will probably stalk and Aramco, and hope we just get a little bit of Blake Shinn magic there at the end of the race. Mate, we'll move on to one of my favorite horses from back in the day, Chautauqua, the 1200 meter Chautauqua Stakes. You like one here in race five?
Yeah, I find I'm tipping much more favourites than I used to these days. But if they're there and they're worth the price, I'll be with them. And Arkansas Kid, I mean, he was off the map when I was keen on him a couple of weeks ago. They didn't miss. He looked so well weighted, and yeah, just trucked up to them, won with authority. It's a handy race here, but he's in with 55 still, so I'm pretty confident he'll take this out. Who Dares, I've followed for a long time now, was 0.8 off Arkansas Kid, so there's probably not a whole lot between them. Savannah Cloud race as well here, but yeah, I think with the Chautauqua colours on Arkansas Kid, a lot of people are going to gravitate towards it on the weekend. Curry's aboard, yeah, ticks all the boxes for mine, mate. I think it's going to take a stack of beating. That probably looks at Quinella again, Arkansas Kid and Who Dares from 1 and 2. Should be a good race.
Yep, he was outstanding first up as a gelding there at Caulfield and should be able to go on with it. And I like that he's had a win at Moonee Valley as well. Savannah Cloud's always one that I don't mind backing at the Valley. Loves the track and rolls forward. So great race, that one. Race 6, you briefly mentioned this horse last race you were talking about. It's the Atlantic Jewel Stakes, 1,200 metres. Immortal Star. I want to stick with the horse here. I thought she was really, really good there, second up. I love that last start win. She just had a dream run in transit, I must admit, and then got over the top of them. Even though Photograph was the flashing light run out of that race and a horse that I really want to follow, I think the tempo in the race gave that horse that opportunity. And I actually love now that Immortal Star, who's had the couple of runs at the Valley and got the win there last start, this is her third go around at this preparation. And she gets off the inside now. She'll be able to find the running line. I think that'll just make the horse a bit more comfortable. These young horses, as much as you think they're getting a dream run on the inside where they're all smothered away and they're covered up and whatnot, that usually younger horses don't like that. Now she's going to get to the outside. She'll be in the running line, probably just off the speed. I think she gets a great opportunity here, and I'll take the $3. I think we're getting a little bit of price because of the flashing light run from the other runner last start. But I must admit, this is a very good race, and I do like Silmarillion as well. So, looking forward to it. Did you have any opinion of that race?
Yeah, I'm with it as well. I think we've agreed in a fair few Quinellas and selections so far, but it makes logical sense. You don't need to go too far back to find a second of Bold Bastille, which is superb form. I mean, this horse has had one run where it carved up a bit as a $3.20 chance, but other than that, it's never been far away from them. And yeah, it's super honest. It'll be very hard to beat. Silmarillion, I don't even know how to say it. It's still a maiden, but yeah, its form's also really good. Second to Amina, and it's got form around Erno's Cube and Linebacker. But yeah, I don't know. I just agree with you, mate. I think Immortal Star's a bit better at the odds. Proven, knows how to win. And yeah, it knows how to win here, so that's important as well.
Mate, I did get an email from one of our 14 listeners that we've got on the program this week, and he was quite disappointed in you moving over to favourites. He said that he misses Brycey getting on the podcast and declaring $41 hopes as his best bet of the day, mate. Is that going to return anytime soon, or you're just getting a little bit more older and wiser?
Oh, I definitely will. I feel like the highways have been a little bit sort of mellow lately. But there's always something that jumps up, sort of 15s, 20s, that every sort of couple of weeks that I'm really keen on. But at the moment, there hasn't been a whole lot. Next few weeks I'll definitely be able to find some roughies. I'll be getting into it. But yeah, lately I feel like it has been the shorter pricings that have appealed, and if it's working, then stick with it, I think. But if there is something over the odds, yeah, I'm still waiting for Altissima to come back. She's going to come back in a highway. I was all over her last prep. She's going to come back 40s first up, mate, and that's when I'll be declaring it.
I like it, mate. There's a couple of absolute belters to finish off the program there at Moonee Valley. I think race 8, I don't want to say it, but I think Pericles is going to be a horse that I put up a really good write up on my website on Saturday morning. I think that horse is really well set up second up. But we'll leave that till then. Race 9, mate, the Moya Stakes. This is an absolutely super race. You got Estriella, I Wish I Win. We got the Golden Slipper winner, Lady of Camelot, the Blue Diamond winner, Hayasugi, Cabalus. There's that many horses in that race. I know you're going to say you want to leave it alone, but is there any horse in that race that you want to give a little push for?
Oh, you know me well, mate. I'm gonna leave this one. And this is it's just because when these kinds of races happen and you got the big guns and this market's, $3 or $3 to $4 are the first three chances in there, and you look at them all and you go, well, they're all superstars and they're all resuming. So it depends what they've done, depends what their grand final is, and you just can't really be that confident, can you? I think I Wish I Win's probably the best horse in the race with pattern to suit. I'm confident it's got the turn of foot, but Lady of Camelot with 50 kegs, I can see why people can gravitate towards her, and Estrella trolled like a bomb. So they've all kind of got their goods and bads, don't they? It's a really good race, mate. But yeah, I think Lady of Camelot's probably the one at the weights, but I Wish I Win's, let's not forget how good that horse is. What about you, mate? Have you got one you reckon?
Oh, I'm of the belief that this Lady of Camelot could be a seriously special filly. And I think that, you look at what Storm Boy did the other day. Well, Lady of Camelot won the Gold Slipper and two trials leading in this preparation. Obviously beating Home Gear Kick the other day. Look, you expect the Waterhouse on pace speedy filly to win trials, but I think this filly's outstanding. But I mean, I didn't think she'd come up $3 in a field with I Wish I Win and Estriella and horses like that. But the thing here is, as you mentioned, she carries 50 kilos. She's barrier two. She's going to be on the speed. Zach Lloyd's going down to Melbourne for the ride. Estriella and I Wish I Win and potentially Cabalus, all three of those horses haven't seen the valley. So you've got to have concerns there. I would have to back Lady of Camelot here. I just think I know what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and absolutely pinch this, and whether they can get over the top over 1,000 meters, these other horses, I'm not sure. But it's an absolute hell of a race. I cannot wait for that. 4:50 on Friday Arvo. I'll be about probably 9 or 10 beers deep and just absolutely on the edge of my seat waiting for that one. Mate, before we finish off, you're obviously going to your home track here to finish off race eight. Hopefully, I'm not 9 or 10 Bundy Rums deep, but you've got a horse in the Bundy Rum handicap, 1,350 meters, race eight. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I'm with Plundering. I've admittedly this is its last start was a much easier race. It was $2. It was the biggest thing beat I've ever seen. It was just absolute moral licked. And Norman was aboard and through the line, mate. It just won by about 5 lengths. I know this is a much harder race, but Plundering's more than proven at this level. Doesn't win out of turn. A Rock Ribbed is going well. Excalatus is going well, but $6 seems fair enough each way. 52 kilos. I reckon the stable have said, look, we could have had it in another race at Ipswich. Let's throw it in the deep end with a really light weight because it's flying and its last start run was super. So it's a bit of a stab at the stumps, but fresh up, it was half a length off Brereton. And yeah, I think that's good enough form for this. So each way, I think that's a nice play.
I'll give you a little piece of advice, mate. See that form guide there with Plundering, 19 starts, where it says it's had 3 wins in 8 seconds. I have backed that horse every time it's finished those 8 seconds, and it'll look like it's absolutely traveling and going to win by 3 lengths on the weekend, and it'll run second. So I hope for your sake, mate, you're a one times three punter like me, because it'll no doubt place. It'll
Yeah.
definitely place. But yeah, we'll see how we go. But 52 kilos, old Ronnie Stewart on board. Hopefully, we get the result there. Mate, thanks very much for joining me again. I'm really looking forward to the two programs on the weekend. As we mentioned last week, you can find the rest of my selections and a full preview on www.triplejracing.com.au. And just let everyone know where they can find your selections again, mate.
Yeah, there's Back a Winner. .com.au and Smart Bet as well. So either of those two, you can go online, find the race previews and selections there, and everything will be there for you.
Thanks very much. Talk to you soon, Brycey, and good luck on the weekend, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Good luck, everyone.